Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Whiskey Wednesday Show with your hosts, Ken Tizard and Music for Goats. Brought to you in full color and stereo sound with amplification provided by Trainer. Broadcasting into the world from Storyhouse Studios in Camford, Ontario, you'll hear the best in old country, folk, Americana, punk rock, and 80s music delivered into your homes every week for free. And don't forget your regular dose of new and original songs from Music for Goats. Never be alone on a Wednesday night again, 8 p.m. Eastern and 9:30 for those even if planned. Join the Whiskey Wednesday regulars on Facebook to be a part of the conversation, or watch on YouTube as well. Pour a drink, a cup of tea, or a nice cold long tooth. Roll up your best smoke and sit back and relax. Don't forget to hit the share button to help spread the word. The Whiskey Wednesday Show, every week. Cheers.
Season's greetings, folks. Ken Tizard here. It is Wednesday night, the 27th of December, and we are down at Be My Guest doing the annual Escape the Family Christmas. Right here in Camelford, Ontario, a bunch of special guests. It's 8 o'clock here, so that means that we're just taking the stage down there. For those of you who can't make it and you're in town, enjoy the rest of the show. We're going to do two parts. We're going to do the musical guests from the last year and the non-musical guests from the last year. These are taken from the telethon that we had earlier in the spring. In the fall, sorry. Anyways, it's been a great Christmas. We've had a really good time here at the house. The kids have been around. Everything's really cool. Everybody's happy and healthy, which is really nice. I know that we're blessed in that way, so that's all nice. I hope you all had a great Christmas. Thanks again for supporting for another Whiskey Wednesday. It's been amazing. The Whiskey Wednesday fanzine is also almost ready. Allison will have it out by next week, probably by next Wednesday. Should be a good, another full, fun-packed action-adventure read-a-thon for you all. And Richard Grichuk, there are two more clues in this week's, in this episode of this magazine, so keep that out. Also, the Music for Goats toques are in, as you can see. They're there. They're pretty cool looking. It's a great toque. I quite like them. They're available. They will be $30 and plus shipping. And now we've got these here, the Monday Nights Music for Goats t-shirts. These are a limited run Music for Goats, the Monday Nights t-shirts. If you're wondering what the Monday Nights is, it is going to be what we're doing January, February, March, and April of this year. We're doing every Monday night at Capers here in town. There'll be a special menu for the night. We're also tying in with Eric over at Spirit Leaf. So there'll be a special little meeting room before the show. If you want information on that, please get a hold of me. Anyways, without further ado, we're going to get into this year's musical guests. We've got everything from Dave Gunning to Lenny Gallant, William Prince, Daniel Graves, and a bunch of other stuff. So enjoy yourselves. Sorry we're not here live, but we are somewhere else live. And here are some great highlights from this year. Cheers. It
takes a lot of practice. I'll start her comfortably at this age.
Okay, here we go.
Now you're off and running, run just like you're scared, run just like a gray dog, run just like a deer. Something in the bushes staring at you, staring at your beatings, feeling like you do. One way rider, one way down the road. Baby, I'm right beside you everywhere you go. Once upon a victim, circumstances too, came to take a hold on everything you do. First we follow leaders, next we follow fools, now we follow footsteps sneaking up on you. One way rider, one way down the road. Baby, I'm right beside you everywhere you go. Yeah, I'm a one way rider, one way down the road. Baby, I'm right beside you everywhere you go. Thank you.
Thank God that was the slow version.
Thanks, Neil. That was the slow version.
I know.
That is...
And this one goes out to Katie, as usual. Oh my God, that dog. You guys can't see it, but he's just right on his back.
He's on, yeah.
Paws up.
He enjoys that.
I like it. That's relaxed. So...
fun to play along with you. Wow, that's just brilliant.
Well, you can call out the sheriff and the highway patrol. There's a fool on the highway running out of control. It's fast like a hot woman. Show won't leave him be. Is 7 come 11? Please set this poor boy free. You know I wish hard living didn't come so easy to me. And I'm downtown, I'm messing around. I got my mind in the lost and bound.
Song. Where'd that one come from?
That's a Texas songwriter by the name of David Halley.
Rhythm and rhyme. But oh, how York City, but I'm still in California time. I live in New York City, but I'm still in California time. Yeah, here I sit like some old forgotten statue down on 7th Street, getting covered in snow. But oh, shining bright at the golden pier. I live in New York City, but I'm still in California time. I live in New York City, but I'm still in California time. Let's take a little trip down to Encinitas. Your brother and Kitty are gonna come down to meet us. And oh, we'll have such a grand old time. Margaritas and a beach bike ride. I live in New York City, but I'm still in California time. I live in New York City, but I'm still in California time. Let's buy a little place down in Laguna. We'll sit on the sand and watch the sun go down. Maybe I'll take you out dancing. In the jukebox, we're kissing and swaying. I live in New York City, but still in California time. I live in New York City, but I'm still in California time. Information, help me please. Give me California. I left my baby on the western far horizon, with a tear in her eye and a half-finished bottle of wine. I live in New York City, but I'm still in California time. I live in New York City, but I'm still in California time. I live in New York City, but I'm still in California time. I live in New York City, but I'm still in California time.
Letter, you'd already made up your mind. All my words were written in vain. When I called you up that day, I was only calling up to say hello. But goodbye. Selfish and so self-absorbed, I thought that you were waiting. when I reached the other side. Last night I put my arms around another woman's waist. The touch was sweet but bitter while we danced. And great love can bring greater pain. I hope I fall in love again. What can I do? This is right. I have not been perfect for you. I like to think I was back at the start. You have no more patience for me. So now I guess we'll just drift apart.
Song number two. This one's brand new, so I'm probably going to screw it up, but don't worry, everything's cool. This is called Brave New World. Oh, this brave new world is full of cowards and liars, of Holocaust deniers, all second guesses, second amendments, but who'll defend the new defendants? We see this brave new world is not for the faint of heart, for the lovers of the starving artists. It's for the rats and the worms and the snakes and varmints and bulls that can't keep their rage in their undergarments. To ask if you're an anti-fascist, then oh, yeah, you to the man.
fashion, still compassion is a fashion, and live with open hearts. We're gonna weaponize affection, gonna march in a new direction. Ashes to compassion is a fashion, and live with open hearts. We're gonna starve that infection, gonna march in a new direction. Till this brave new world is somewhere on the map. If no one has to ask, oh, what's the answer? That's the question, a ballot or a bullet or an insurrection. Gotta plant that flag and make some choices. Raise some hell and raise your voices. Your voices. Your voices. Your voices. A bell and a bomb. Brave New World.
My summer baby shining in the sun. Well, I guess you couldn't wait to smell the roses, my beauty little one. My 29-week wonder, born after the seventh month, you had my heart wrapped up in your tiny fingers as they wrapped around my thumb. Tuesday morning, 1,000 balloons came floating around my room, around my room. Little baby, it came so small and early, but not too soon. We're over the moon. Tuesday morning, 1,000 balloons came floating around my room, around my room. Little baby, you came so small and early, but not too soon. We're over the moon. My summer baby shining in the sun, and I looked up and suddenly you're 10 years older, my beauty little one. Now that the summer's over and rain falls from above, I hope you know that all that once was green is golden, just like you, my love. You, my love.
Okay, our next song is by Fred Kirby, who wrote the song in 1950. And he did a lot to promote, you know, the government's line in the Cold War, and became known after doing a bunch of shows as the Victory Cowboy. And this particular song is called When That Hell Bomb Falls.
Okay. Won't you listen, my dear brother, for it's time for us to gather. God is getting mighty angry for the sinful things we've done. He gave us all this blessed land, and this I cannot understand. A weapon of destruction to destroy us, everyone. When that hell bomb falls, when that hell bomb falls, they'll be screaming, dying, praying.
course it happened in Korea, where our boys are bravely fighting for the peaceful way of life and our democracy. Have mercy on us, our Lord, I pray, watch over them night and day. Keep praying for the whole world and your help to keep us free. When that hell bomb falls, when that hell bomb falls, there'll be screaming, dying, praying when that hell bomb falls. And the mothers, sisters, wives, and children, brothers are still weeping from their losses in the last war, cold and stare. Have mercy, please lend a helping hand. We know that you will understand. Save us from these heartaches if it be your blessed will. When that hell bomb falls, when that hell bomb falls, they'll be screaming, dying, praying when that hell bomb falls. They'll be screaming, dying, praying when that hell bomb falls.
Right there in the parking lot, a couple folded chairs. Down the block was Bedford Park. A lot of my friends went there. It wasn't nothing much, it could have been anywhere. Could have been anywhere. In heaven. Excuse me, I'm leaving it. Just don't feel like being here anymore. In heaven. Excuse me, I'm leaving it. Just don't feel like being here anymore. Party. First year the Blue Jays won. But how could you forget that Joe Kadaki went at home run? Some of us got lost, some of us got crazy. Young Street, we were so young. We were so young. In heaven, excuse me, I'm leaving it. Just don't feel like being here anymore. In heaven, excuse me, I'm leaving it. Just don't feel like being here anymore. Excuse me, I'm leaving it. Just don't feel like
There you have it. Murder 13 from Beyond the Reservoir comes out in October. Thanks, Ken, for the opportunity, and thanks.
Whiskey Wednesday. William Prince here, greeting you from my... well, from my good friend Ken Tizard's house, originally hailing from the Treaty One territory. What a joy it is to be here with you all, and thank you, Ken, for having me. Appreciate you. This is a song called The Carney, I hope. One half of my two oldest friends took a job till the summer's end. A wonder show and a pop-up tent, kicking dust in every small town. And how to work, Indian, few hundred a week ain't that bad, my friend. Don't think he ever picked up a ranch in his whole damn life. Buzzing lights and the mosquitoes bit, thought for sure that he'd quit. Just as soon as the nighttime hit, well, he proved me wrong. 'Cause by the end of it, the tilter whirled and the zipper zipped, and he had both hands in it from sunup until they tore down. Most these folks ain't like most these folks. Keep in mind that some folks lie. And if you ever need a place to go, just look for the neon sign. Popcorn soda and caramel apples, 3 weeks and all we couldn't stand. Sleeping on a paper-thin mattress, praying for early rain. Fistfight almost went in the fire. Garbage tattoo of barbed wire covers the arms of this kid named Kyle, who swears George stole his weed. Fairground littered with happy families, painted faces in cotton candy, the kind of life that would be just dandy, but then who'd run the rides? Guess that's just carny life. 'Cause most of these folks ain't like most of these folks. Keep in mind that some folks lie. And if you ever need a place to go, just look for the neon sign. Most of these folks ain't like most of these folks. Keep in mind that some folks lie. And if you ever need a place to go, just look for the neon sign. Look for the neon sign. Look for the neon sign.
This is an older song, or at least I should say it's been released. It's on an album. It's called I Moved On.
Jealous.
words of pride. Did I sharpen?
And yeah, huge thanks to Ken for having us.
This is for you, Ken. We stood together at the edge of a flame, with no sign of rain. Walking together, stirring the dust that's been following us. Count on me, I'm counting on you, to see it all through like old friends do. I trust every soul in this room as we stare at the ground. Put our faith in the circle of boots. The lines on our faces are starting to show. Now we're taking it slow. The sidewalks have cracks that go straight through. Yeah, they're way worn too. Count on me, I'm counting on you, to see it all through like old friends do. I trust every soul in this room as we stare at the ground and put our faith in the circle of boots. Laughing with ice water in our veins. To hell with the devil, he was never gonna look this way. Woke in the morning to a telephone ring that changed everything. Now we're back here together, all but one, with arm and heads hung. Count on me, I'm counting on you, to see it all through like old friends do. I trust every soul in this room as we stare at the ground and put our feet in the circle of boots. As we stare at the ground and put our faith in the circle of boots. Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
call out your name. Speaks to you about me. You can reach out and touch me. Speaks to you about me. You can almost reach out and touch me now. Wasted on this giant subject with plastic skin and weathered frame. If I could have just one single stroke of utter genius, then none of this would have seemed a shame. And touch me, speaks to you about me. You could almost reach out and touch me now. Ba 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 ba.
Hey Ken, hey everybody, I'm gonna play Terrified.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, Ken.
For you, we've also got a guest on the show tonight who's a very old and dear friend, even though I haven't seen him or talked to him in a long time. But I think when we were together, we spent such a compressed amount of time and space, you know, like literally 24 hours a day, and out of those 24 hours, not being more than like 4 feet apart, living on tour buses and hotel rooms and eating together and playing music together. Anyways, I'm talking about Tavis Stanley. He's a wonderful cat. He's been down in Las Vegas, and I caught up with him this week, and we had a great chat, and you're going to hear all about it.
Change my mind. only thing that's permanent is you. Only thing that's permanent is you. Is you. This world divides us. We're on two different sides. But the wall is not real. Can it be real? It's only made of concrete and barbed wire. Concrete and barbed wire. Concrete and barbed wire. It's only made of concrete and barbed wire. Dogs are at again in the mean load. They're being. There's a wall between us. It's not what it seems. It's only made of concrete and barbed wire. Concrete and barbed wire. Concrete and barbed wire.
Jared was 6 foot tall, 300 pounds. His shoulders were wide and his belly was round. His mouth was the size of a quarter, but he always wore a smile. He was a pleasure to have around when the nights got wild. We were driving late October in a souped-up Escalade. Old thugs talking about their feelings and all the mistakes we made. It's hard to know just how you end up wherever you're at until you're driving around with 25 grand in unmarked bills and a big black Cadillac. I ain't chasing that lonely feeling. I ain't looking for a way out. I'm just making the most of what's on my toast, and then I'm choking every single crumb down. I ain't saying I'm a good man, but I sure as hell ain't all bad.
myself from wanting what those other people had. Yeah, Jared was a little different. He seemed to see the good in everyone, but never once did he hesitate to get the dirtiest of dirty jobs done. So when I got the call from the big man, I said yes sir and hung up the phone. I stopped the truck to take a leak before I sent him to his final home. And with my finger on the trigger, I asked him to turn around. I had to see that little smile one more time before he hit the ground. I told him I was sorry, and I knew he understood. He would have done the same damn thing if he was standing where I stood. I ain't chasing that lonely feeling. I ain't looking for a way out. I'm just making the most of what's on my toast, and I'm choking every single crumb down. I ain't saying I'm a good man, but I sure as hell ain't all bad. I keep myself from wanting what those other people.
Saying goodbye to Ron. I've been walking around St. John's tonight like I've been under a spell. 'Cause I feel like a part of him is still here, making his last farewell. I can hear his voice all over town, in every shop and bar, in every phone call from away, no matter how near or far. We're saying goodbye to Ron. There's a melody down on George Street, dancing on the wind. It twists and turns like a candle, fighting with the fog bank rolling in. And everybody's singing, Sonny, don't go away. You took the words right out of my mouth, told me what I meant to say. We're saying goodbye to Ron. They're tearing up the streets all over town. Change is rolling in. There's boys on the bay with a tin can begging for a way to feed the mess they're in. There's no love for the fallen when you're all alone and dry, and you'd sell your guitar for a sliver of peace. Never mind asking why. You're saying goodbye to Ron. Goodbye, goodbye. Goodbye, goodbye. Goodbye, goodbye. Sonny, don't go away. We're here all alone. And your daddy's a sailor coming home. Oh, the cabbie glanced in the back seat, 'cause he thought he heard something there. And he drove to the top of Signal Hill like he had a ghost for a fare. And the radio played No Kathleen and the story of my life. And the wind carried Atlantic blue to the lost souls in the night.
all sing goodbye to Ron. And everybody singing, Sonny, don't go away. You took the words right out of my mouth. Told me what I meant to say. We sing goodbye to Ron. Goodbye, goodbye. Goodbye.
Hey folks, thanks for tuning in to the Whiskey Wednesday show. Every Wednesday we will be here, rain or shine, richer or poorer. Tip jar is in the link above, never expected but always appreciated. Never confuse the size of your paycheck with the size of your talent. I've got all the money I'll ever need if I die by midnight. Always appreciated, never expected. Please feel free to drop us a line regarding anything, including a link to your money. Cheers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to part two of our holiday extravaganza show. Allison's keeping me on task here, making sure I'm getting all the notes. Don't forget, I talked about the Monday nights in the first part of the show. And again, we do have these shirts. They're 30. The hats are 30. We'll do a combo for tonight only if you send me a DM. $25 for a shirt, $25 for a hat. That's a combo deal of $50 plus $10 shipping. So you're going to save $10. So if you want a shirt and a hat, let me know. We are, as I said, down at Be My Guest, having a great time tonight with our friends and family here locally in Campbellford. We are doing the Monday nights starting in January. Please put that in your calendars. Next week, we will be having a recap of Be My Guest. I'll have some live stuff. I'll have some of the guests and stuff, which will be nice. We're also going to be working on new intro, outro, and donation videos, which will be which you'll see next week. There's four new parts that we're doing. I got to do four new. It's season four. It's three new parts. I have to do three new parts for season four. Season four is the what we're going into. Wow, we're going into season four. That's really cool. We're going to do a recap next week of the Monday nights too, because we have our first Monday night coming up on January 1st. That's going to be a lot of fun. So anyways, we're going into the non-musical part of the show. We've got some great guests on this here. We've got everything from Rick Mercer to Bob Izumi to Tim Lee, the artist, and Cam Carpenter, the musical know-it-all. And he's lived it all, so his knowledge is true. Anyways, all kinds of great stuff. Sit back, pour yourself a drink, have yourself a puff, make yourself a tea, glass of water, whatever it is you want. Sit back and enjoy. And again, Merry Christmas. Cheers. Starting next week, we've got Jeremy Berger. We've been working out the kinks. There's so much that goes into playing here in this old bedroom of ours and sending it through the air to all of you and having you listen to it in your homes, on your stereos, on your phones. It's amazing technology.
It's magic.
But there's a lot of magic that goes into making this happen. There's so much stuff going on here, and we're building on it, and it's fantastic, and we're loving it. So I appreciate it. Last week, you gave me the chance to try this, and it failed miserably. So we're going to try it again this week. I'm just going to ask Barry a question here. You got any sign of Allison there yet?
I see her.
You see her. Okay, good. I'm going to put this in. Check 1, 2. I can not hear myself through this, can I? Check 1, 2. Can you turn the monitor off, Barry? So I can see myself. I can hear myself. I'm going to join the room now. Boom, there I am in the room. Boom.
And now we're going to see if my wife comes in. Allison,
this is your moment.
Can you hear me?
I hear you, Allison. Hold on.
There we go.
Barry's doing the split screen. Now he's got just Allison.
I'm trying to.
Yep.
Is it working there yet?
Look at that.
Yay!
Oh my goodness. This is our first time.
You guys out there can hear and see Allison.
It's working.
Allison is in her lovely bed downstairs.
How you doing, love?
I figured out. So something that you need to let your guests know.
Yes.
Okay.
When I'm sitting in the room, you can hear me. Your guest has to mute their button.
Absolutely. Okay.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Make a note of that for later.
Yes.
So, Allison, what are you doing? Show us what's going on.
Okay. There. So, well, I think everybody knows. Hi, I'm Allison, and I thought I would show the room. I thought that would be good because
literally, the whole time.
Exactly. I think everyone knows that I live literally underneath the studio. Mm-hmm. So I thought I would take you on a little tour. And what I do is about every month, 5 or 6 weeks, I change up the theme. So, of course, it's February. So the theme is, I'm going to try to move this, is Valentine's, of course. So hearts. So I'm going to turn the phone. I'm going to show everybody the room.
Okay.
I'm going to try to hold the phone slowly. Okay, so this is beside my bed.
Nice.
And I decided, or well, we decided last year not to put our Christmas tree away till Easter. So now it's a Valentine's tree.
And the tree gets decorated going, about 7 fucking times a year now.
Yes. Well, okay, that's not exaggerate. 4 times. And then I'm going to sort of show our house a little bit. So there's our bathroom, which hopefully soon we're going to renovate and make it accessible so I can use it.
Absolutely.
And then I've got my owls. For some reason, I have an owl collection, but they're cute.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll keep going. So this is the hallway that goes into the front of our house where our bedroom is.
Mm-hmm. Well, you haven't been for 3 years.
And sorry?
With the bedroom that you haven't been in 3 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Again, an exaggeration. It's been 2 years.
Okay, 2 years.
And then there's my plant corner. Mm-hmm. So that door there is what goes up to the studio. So we have a front stairs and a back stairs.
Yes.
And then if we keep going, oh, that's
Where's the guitar gone?
What's that called? Okay, well, you couldn't see the stand.
Oh, I see.
So I removed the guitar.
Oh, I see. That's Tom Burgess's guitar stand.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's where Ken keeps his Gretsch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, you keep Neil's Gretsch there.
I keep Neil's Gretsch there, yeah. It's my nighttime practice guitar.
Yes. So every time we're watching TV, he annoys me by practicing and practicing and practicing.
I certainly do.
Okay. I'll keep going.
Yes, please.
So this room used to be our dining room.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to show up first. So there's our chandelier, and it's decorated, and it gets decorated. And it sort of reminds me of being a baby in a crib, you know? Like,
it's like a mobile.
What do you call those things?
It's like a mobile. It's usually got like little elephants and stuff on it.
Exactly.
That's true. Well, that's kind of what it is, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And then we brought a couch in here so that everybody can be with me. And there's going around.
We all sit around Allison and watch TV.
Exactly. And then there's Rango.
That's Cassidy's lizard.
Cassidy's lizard. And she's been home for about 3 months doing virtual school. But mm-hmm. she's going back to Queens this weekend. Okay, keep going.
Yeah.
And the kitchen. So the basement.
Yes.
I'm
losing your audio a bit there.
Sorry?
I'm losing your audio a little bit there.
Oh.
It's all good. Keep talking. You're back.
Okay. And then, so that's the kitchen. And I love being here because I'm literally in the middle of the house. Everybody has to go by me.
Yes, that was the idea of putting Allison's bed there in the middle of that room, is that, you know, even when I'm cooking and people are over, we're all still around, you know. It's a way of keeping everybody involved all the time.
And
there you go. Do you have it? And then there's your pills and all that stuff there. Can she turn it all? Is your hand going to allow you to do that? I don't think it is it?
I'm going to try to turn back.
Okay. We spent hours practicing holding the phone, believe it or not.
Yes,
there she is.
Because Ken got me all, because he said, I have to hold it or I'm going to have a double chin. So I'm
what I said. No, I said you have to hold it above your face when you're using the camera. Don't hold it. You're holding it perfect. Absolutely.
Okay, there we go. And of course, I've got these pajamas on.
I know, that's your sexy ones, right?
Yeah, because, okay, yes, they're from Amazon. and they're supposed to be over one shoulder. Like,
I know.
How ridiculous. Yeah. But anyways.
They're lovely. They're fantastic.
Okay.
And you ate chili tonight, and you didn't get any on your white shirt. I couldn't
exactly.
do that.
Yeah. I gave an exaggeration. I didn't have chili tonight.
Oh, no,
we
you
had
didn't
chili last me. Night.
Like I remember. Okay, love, we're going to sign off
okay.
here. Barry's okay. going to get rid of you. I'm not sure how that happens. Barry, how do we get rid of her? I guess we press back a camera. Okay,
but
let's see that
I'm glad
happen.
It worked.
I know, I'm glad it worked too. Let's see there, Barry. Boom. There we go from that. That's good. I'm going to sign out of this. We're going
yeah,
over.
I got you.
This is our very first Whiskey Wednesday. What are you at?
Oh, so look at that.
He is. Hey, Jeremy. How you doing, buddy?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing just fantastic. You can see me and hear me okay?
I got you. Yeah, you got me?
Excellent. Yeah, we got it. We got it. We're good, Barry. Okay, so I've got you here, which means it's going out to the show. If anybody knows better, just text me or Allison, knock on a door or something. I'm assuming it's all coming through. We have Jeremy Berger, product specialist for Yorkville Sound here with us. But Neil, we've had a lot of fun, and you know, more than anything, it still amazes me how you took care of us all of those years. I mean, just making sure we got where we needed to be, making sure that the flights and the car rentals and the hotels and tour buses and all the techs and all that. And I know you're working with management and agencies and stuff, but you took care of us on a different level. And people don't understand what a front of house / road manager guy does. You know, you're the first in the venue in the morning, you're the last out late at night. And meanwhile, in the middle of the day, you get us up getting out of bed at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and complaining because our fucking waffles aren't there. you've done an amazing job of that for years.
Well, thank you.
It's been a real.
It's been fun being dad.
Anyways, yeah. Dave Guy is an old friend of mine from back home. He's a musician, a stellar musician, and a great guy. And I was talking to him recently, and he told me he was up in Musgrave Harbor. And I thought, okay, I got to catch up with Dave and see what's going on. So, Musgrave Harbor, what's going on up there? Oh my goodness, I'm seeing me. And I'm hearing you.
And I'm seeing you.
Yeah.
But there's a slight delay, which is a bit disconcerting because it makes me think like I'm having a stroke. So I'm just going to stop looking at me altogether and just look into the green dot. How about that?
That's the way to do it. And
that's the way
I've got
to do
a little delay too, which I find concerning, but disconcerting is the word. So, Rick.
Yeah.
What are you at?
Good. I wrote a book during the pandemic. You and I reconnected during the pandemic because when I was writing the book, I called a lot of people that I was hanging out with in high school and in those early years of doing comedy and music, and you and I were both part of a scene. So we really reconnected during that time, and I reconnected with a bunch of people. So that's what I'm at. Who's doing your switching?
That's Barry.
He's really good.
He is really good, yeah. Isn't he?
It's really good. The switching is great. It's a great show. It should be on the network.
Oh,
I say the network. I'm old fashioned. Should be on the network.
It is on the network.
Yeah, but the switching is great. Your lighting is great. It's all great. The sound is great. It's a great show.
Oh well, I appreciate that. I coming from somebody, you know, reading your book.
Who knows nothing about sound?
Who knows nothing about sound? No, but reading your book again. Really reminded me how you guys, you know, especially with 22 minutes, you took it from scratch. You know, you were working out of a trailer. Your set was a desk. You had a very little budget. I've always enjoyed things that come out of that. Most of the most gratifying things in my world have come out of just a. You said it in the book. There was no money, but I was on a show. I had something, and that's the way I've lived my life. And it's fantastic to see that grow. And you've done it so many times.
Yeah, and I realized that my failures have always been well-funded and my successes have always been drastically underfunded. Have you talked to your fans at home about when you did the show with the guy who used to strip and roll around on glass?
Oh, the Amazing Glenn, yes. I have talked about
the Amazing Glenn. Okay. That's good.
I've found out. Apparently he's selling antiques somewhere out around the bay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he always used to, after he used to strip down to his underwear and roll around on the glass.
Yeah.
And you guys would be playing Stand By Me.
That's
and
right.
you, of course, playing bass.
Mm-hmm.
Stand By Me. It's one of the greatest bass riffs. And it would just go on and on. I mean, mm-hmm. how long would you play the bass for Stand By Me?
I mean, it
would
12 be, minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. 12 minutes.
Yeah.
And then he would roll around on the glass, and then he would pull up a stool, and he would be bleeding.
Yes.
And then he would tell you that if you wanted furniture refurnished, look him up in next time you were in Foxtrap.
That's right.
I remember thinking, this is like an acid trip. This is crazy. Yeah, you toured with him, didn't you?
I did. At one point, I did an entire summer with him, and at one point he talked to me about being his mentor. He was going to teach me how to do what he did, and shortly after that was when I stopped working with him. Yeah, you know, it just got
because he used to cut himself. That was the thing. That was the disconcerting part.
Yes.
It was like he's rolling around in the glass. You'd be playing Stand By Me, and then you'd go, "Oh my God, how is he not cutting himself?"
But and then you realize he was.
You'd realize, "Oh no, he actually." He's cutting himself quite badly. So as a showbiz act, that was a bit of an issue.
It had a limited... The fire always bugged me too. When he'd take the handfuls of broken glass and he'd pour lighter fluid on them, and then he'd pour it over his face.
Yeah.
But and it was weird being business. On the road with him too, though.
I bet.
Yeah. I keep those stories to myself just because it was weird as hell.
You were a kid too.
I was 16. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were all just kids
on the road with the amazing Glenn. That's too funny.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to it. It's a big learning curve. It's something that I did after 50, which is weird because a lot of people start in stand up and then they look for the off ramp to get to television or whatever. Whereas I was never in stand up. I did television and now I've discovered a different off-ramp and I'm kind of reverting and doing stand-up, but I'm really looking forward to it. There's no doubt about it.
That's cool. This book ends prematurely. Is there a part two that's going to get into the other stuff?
Well, I'm no fool, Ken.
Well, Rick, it's been lovely talking to you, man. I can't believe you came on the show. This is like you know, I got this little thing happening in my bedroom.
What else am I doing? I'm just sitting here in my office, in my jacket, with my ring light on, wishing that someone from high school would call.
I know.
So thank you for having me.
Are you wearing pants?
I am, but they're not very nice.
Okay.
They may include an elastic.
They include an elastic. Some of my favorite people wear pants with elastics.
You're a very dapper band. You're wearing a tie.
Yes.
Two of you in the band are wearing ties. You're a very dapper band. And it's so great, even though I don't know Steve, it's so great to see him behind the drums and doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the band, and so I'm thrilled to be on the show.
For those of you who don't know, Daryl is in the business of bringing musicians and the industry together in conference form and in other forms as well.
Ultimately, the goal is to be able to help a creator or an artist at any level of their career. And CD Baby is the DIY level. Fuga is, you know, distribution for record labels.
Mm-hmm.
We've got AdRev, which is about collecting, making sure money's being collected properly on YouTube, because often it's not. And there's many other brands in between, but it's really what level are you at? We've got a place. And a lot of the discussions are with the clients is really trying to figure out where are they and where are they planning to go so that we can figure out the right fit. Our goal is actually to make the connections online that leads to in person.
That's great.
Look at
Iris. How you
there's
doing?
Iris. Can you come to everybody? This is Iris. You can tell by her name written on the back of her jacket. This is my first and only born child. Hey, she's four and a half. She's pushing. She'll be in a couple of weeks. She'll be 5 months old. And I am Andrew Younghusband. I am 51 years old, just barely older than this person here. Same maturity level, but I'm
same maturity level. Exactly.
In 30 years older.
When you texted me a minute ago and you said running late, poopy bum, I wasn't sure who you were referring to.
Could have been either one. It's a crap shoot, as they call it.
How does it feel to be having a child at 50?
Well, I don't have anything to compare it to. It feels really kind of natural and good. Like, I worked so hard and so much that I don't know how I would have been able to turn down the jobs I had.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have been there if I always wanted kids, but I was kind of never ready. And then when I met Kate, we were all good. And we met like days before COVID began and ran away and then went and hid at my cottage in Ontario. And we kind of like started living together immediately. Like literally we'd known each other for a couple of weeks before we were like living in isolation together. And similarly, last year we came to Newfoundland to hide from COVID like around Christmas time when we forgot to leave. So right. That we stayed here for a year and then we moved here just a month ago.
Kate Domina. Yeah. Is your last name Domina or Domina?
Domina, Domina.
Domina, Kate Domina. And she go by Kate or Kat?
Kate.
Kate, okay. She is an artist. I'm going to throw some of her pictures up. I've been following her since I met you. Man, what cool stuff she does.
Amazing. She's repped by like four galleries. Say again?
Full-time artist all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Full-time all the time. Yeah. When I met her, she was doing 50% of her work was for gallery stuff and 50% was her commissions, people paying her to paint in her style portraits of their families or kids usually. So they weren't like perfect representations of the kids. They were representations of the kids in her kind of weird fantastical style.
I mean, out of the entire gang of folks that I know, you've had such a massive... Like you headed out, you started in theater and you headed out, you know, at the same time as Rick and Ashley and Christine and everybody. And you sailed around the world on the tall ships. You made a TV show out of it. Then you started the Canada's Worst series, The Drivers and The Handyman, Don't Drive Here. You've had all these crazy TV shows and you're one of you're a pretty highly rated Discovery Channel artist for all intents and purposes, right? Like you had a massive run there.
I was the guy on Discovery Channel Canada for a while.
Yeah. And you ran that and now you make pizzas in a stone oven.
Yeah.
Raise your kid and drink jockey in the backyard.
Exactly. I pared it back a little. You're right. When myself and Mercer talked about this when he was writing his book and trying to figure out how he got to where he got to. And yeah, like luck presents itself often. It's, are you ready to pounce and pounce hard?
Exactly.
So there is an interesting combination. There's undeniable massive amounts of luck, but you got to be ready to realize it when it's there and really grab. And I'm sure career-wise, since Driver finished 3 years ago, I've been lucky to have other opportunities and I have not even noticed them or my mojo to grab is gone. I'm busy doing this and I'm happy doing this. And I would hate to be working. There was a period there that lasted a decade where I was really proud to be working 70 hours a week. I wouldn't be proud to do that anymore, wife.
Yes. And you got the one pup or the two dogs?
Two dogs that combined weigh less than this 5-month-old child.
And which one likes to clean the baby's teeth? I saw that video recently. I thought that was...
That's Thundercat. Thundercat, named after the bass player. You should appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Thundercat. Mowgli's the older dog. And Mowgli, he's not one of those like angry, resentful dogs of the baby. You know how like people bring babies in and sometimes the dog resents them? Mowgli's like, ugh. And after a week, he was like, fuck, is she still not left? Like, when is she leaving? whereas Thundercat... was just like, wow, we got a new toy. This is awesome. Thundercat loves her. Like they sleep together and, wrapped up. And like, yeah, when Thundercat goes to lick her face, she opens her mouth.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah. Like if I open something like a bag of chips, Mowgli will come running because he hears the crinkle and associates it with food. If she spits up, Thundercat comes running because he associates that with a good place to lick. Seriously, he's like, oh, all right, feeding time.
Dog Sarah Calhoun, welcome to the show. We are on Whiskey Wednesday. You've watched the show a few times. It's a small little internet thing that I do for me and my friends. And I do a segment called What Are You At? And we are so happy to have you on today. So I'm just going to start by asking the question there. What are you at, Sarah?
Starting to feel like festival season has arrived. So
festival season. And that's a big thing for you because you are the owner, creator, operator, and woman in charge of the Red Ants Pants Festival, right?
This is correct. Yeah. Red Ants Pants Music Festival.
How many years have you been doing that?
So we are heading into our 11th summer, which is hard to believe that well over a decade has gone by of putting on these events. And it's a we're in a town of about 900 and there's 2000 folks in our county, lots of cows.
Yeah.
And we've had up to like 18,000 people at this little grassroots homegrown event that literally takes place on a working ranch in a cow pasture. So it's fun to see that it's come this far.
Sit on this. How did this go from saying these pants don't fit to, you know, being invited to speak at the White House?
Yeah. Just getting really frustrated with men's Carhartts because that's all that was on the market at the time. This was back mm-hmm. in the early 2000s. And I talked to some other companies and tried to get someone else to start a line of workwear for women because I knew there were a lot of women in the field who needed this product. No one really jumped at it. And one guy was like, well, if you're serious, why don't you just start your own company? And very naively at the age of 25, I was like, you know, start a business? How hard could that be? Mm-hmm. And yes.
And I was reading online, you're using proceeds from the music festival to support endeavors that you're involved with that really a lot of empowerment.
With the start of the festival, wanted to give proceeds towards some worthwhile cause. And when I started looking around, there really wasn't the perfect fit for a nonprofit that I wanted to target our funds towards. So we started the Red Ants Pants Foundation, which is our 501c3 nonprofit branch that now owns and manages the festival as our main fundraiser and obviously our biggest program. But in addition to that, we have these programs that you mentioned, the timber skills training. So those are 4-day carpentry and chainsaw courses for women. We're adding in trailer backing and dovetail joinery, like by hand, using hand tools for our carpentry classes. Those are really fun. And that self-reliance piece, like you're saying, is not always traditionally the women's role, but I think not that we have to be self-reliant, but that if we choose to be, we can be. And I think that's a really important value.
Frank, the Kinesos have been so fundamental in helping the Awesome Music Project bring programming through the Awesome Music Hour to kids and youth across the country. Through the something where we blend creativity and music to start conversations around mental wellness.
You know, a worldwide pandemic, you were what, 19 at the time? Mm-hmm. And you're a 19-year-old who's suddenly locked into your house with your parents and, and you turned to music to get through. How did you find that experience of learning how to write songs and writing songs with, you know, just sort of passing the time and your mental health?
I don't really know. I feel like I never really like wrote in like a diary or like any of that kind of stuff. I just never felt like I would be like, oh, dear diary, mm-hmm. this is what happened in my life. But then I just found that music a lot of the time allowed me to like write a song and like it doesn't have to be exactly about what I'm going through, but I could kind of make up a story or have my own life experiences translated into music that then other people could also listen to and then could maybe also relate to. And then,
what are you at? It's been a while since we've had a good chat. I know that we've ran into each other a few times at festivals in the last few years, but it's also been a long time since I was down there and since I had a good chat with you. And we're just coming off the end of the 60th Philly Folk Fest, which just ended, which is still kind of wrapping up, I guess. It was this weekend, right?
Yep.
So yeah, fill in on all that.
Well, we just had the 60th annual Philadelphia Folk Festival. It took place the 18th to the 21st of August. We're always kind of that third weekend in August. And we were both in person for 4 nights, 3 days, 7 stages going. I grew up at the Philadelphia Folk Festival. My mom and dad took me to my first one when I was 4 months old. They actually met at the Philadelphia Folk Festival. So if it wasn't for this event, I literally would not be here. So it is incredibly important to me to make sure that it not only survives, but thrives, that it has a great legacy, that it's around for 60 more years. So we're working towards that. And yes, technically this would have been our 61st, but hell if I was going to waste an anniversary year on 2021. So last year we had a 59 and a half Okay. And then this year we celebrated our 60th.
Wasn't the 60th last year? Okay, so that's how you got around that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was one of those things where a lot of people told me it was blasphemy, and then I said, oh, well, so was electric guitar, but Dylan did it, so I'm
the hippie culture, is that still sort of what that sort of the tenting crowd is called? Whatever that has turned into in a modern age is so friendly and so accessible. I couldn't believe walking around the grounds and people just coming up and talking to me. And after I performed, because I did several stages, just the commentary, you know, I had one artist who painted a picture while I was playing and gave me the picture afterwards and stuff like that. It was a really, really interesting festival you've got down there. And congratulations on the 60th. That's amazing.
Thank you, Ken. And thank you for being a part of our history. And definitely looking forward to hopefully having you and the family down sometime in the not too distant future to do it all over again.
That would be fantastic. I got one of my aunts here, one of my mom's sisters, and there was a bunch of you growing up.
Oh, yes, sister.
You guys came from a massive family. I remember growing up, every Sunday, we would go out to Nan Cranford's.
Ah, yes.
And it was all the kids, and we'd go cracked, and you know, Pop was in trying to watch his TV.
Exactly.
Watching either his TV or his military collection, which always freaked me out because there was a hand grenade up there with a pin in it.
Yeah, I still got a hand grenade home.
Do you?
I have it home.
Oh my God, that used to freak me out.
It was a lighter, actually.
Was it?
It was a lighter, but it looked like a hand grenade.
Oh, yeah. See, as a kid, because he had it with a bunch of war stuff on
yes,
his thing, so
yeah.
I thought it was part
yeah.
of that.
Yeah. Oh, I got that home in the curio cabinet.
Hand grenade the whole time. That's okay. It was still a live hand grenade for the sake of the story.
Anna and
loves
me and
this
my
one.
Sisters.
Yeah.
And myself and Patsy and Betty and Norma.
Yeah, that's Aunt Betty there, the third on the right.
Oh, you love Betty. Everybody
yeah,
loves
everybody
Betty.
Everybody loves
I know
Aunt
that.
Betty. Yeah. Good time. So I want to hear that Peter Gabriel story there as we wrap up.
So this is wild. So I'm in London. I'm trying to figure out why I was there. But I was in London. I was doing a photo shoot. And I was the person getting the photo shoot done. And the photographer is taking pictures of me. And then all of a sudden my face just goes white. And he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I think I just saw Peter Gabriel. And he's like, well, he lives around here. You might have. And this was like an old man pushing a stroller. And I'm like, I swear to God. So then he was like, he could see how visibly shook I was.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, go find him. And I'm like, okay. So I start running all around trying to find this man, right? And I'm literally doing it for like 20 minutes. And then I stop and I'm like, and I look around. There's this man with a stroller at the ATM getting money out. And I'm like, that's Peter Gabriel. So I go over. I'm like, excuse me, Mr. Gabriel. You know, do all that shit. And then I literally, I'm not even talking 30 seconds. And he goes, well, it's quite obvious. You know everything about me, but I know nothing about you. Tell me about you and your music. So I spent a half an hour telling Peter Gabriel about me.
Wow.
And then we took that picture. It was the photographer that took that picture. That's why the photo is so good, because he followed me, right?
That's amazing.
And that was really, like, that was before I worked with Steven Tyler. I signed Steven Tyler to a publishing deal. That was before I worked with Steven. But that moment was like meeting one of my heroes and seeing how gracious someone could be if they wanted to be.
Yeah. Well, it's great to have you here on the show, Bob. It's Whiskey Wednesday, and I get to hang out with my old friend, Bob Azumi. We were just chatting before we started about his son, Darren, was a bass player, learning to play bass when he was still in high school. That was when I met him. And you're saying now that Darren's sort of mid-30s and married and all grown up, and It's been a quick 20 years.
Yeah, it has. Well, not quite married, you know, common law, but I guess that's married, right?
He's with somebody,
you know,
yeah.
It's funny because it has been a quick 20 years. I was thinking about it earlier, it was around 2000, 2001 we met.
Yep.
And I'll never forget. I mean, I miss that spiked hair you used to have. I love those spikes. That was awesome. It must have been hard to wear a hat like this, though, or a hat like you're wearing.
As far as I'm concerned, if you stay out of touch with people and then all of a sudden they come back into your life and it's just like yesterday, that's what real friends are. You know,
exactly.
you don't fret over, oh, why didn't you call me or that. It's more like, you know, it's great to see you, right? Yeah.
if I have only one regret of some of those earlier years of doing the, you know, say 280 to 320 days a year, and I did that, I averaged, I'd say 280 to 300 for the better part of 35, 37 years of my career, maybe 38, is I missed a lot of the kids growing up. Truth be known, I'm kind of a competitive guy, and that's why I still fish tournaments. And that's why that's the only reason I started the TV show in the early 80s was to, you know, pay for my addiction of tournament fishing. I love competitive tournaments, and I've fished in tournaments since the 70s when my dad ran the first bass tournament in Canada. So let's go back to the 70s. He organized and ran it on Rondo Bay in southwestern Ontario. And I remember winning my first, you know, actual bass tournament in 1977. And then in 79, another one, and 80 and 81, and through the 90s and 2000s, 2010s. And now it's six decades I've won tournaments, more than 80 of these tournaments. I'm still, that's what I'm doing now is too. You've got a big bike over on Lake Ontario on the New York side.
Yeah,
that was that time I got the speeding ticket on shore.
That's right.
we were off.
I was going to say to the cop, "You think he's going fast here? You should have seen him when he had the boat in the water."
Yeah, exactly. Hey, what's the name of this brewery that sponsors your show?
The one that we're sponsored by Longtooth. Longtooth. They're a Campbellford guy. He's got the shop down in Brighton, Ontario, and. Yeah, he's been an old friend of mine. I've been drinking his beer forever, and it just seemed to make sense when we got the show going that he came on as the beer guy.
Oh, good. I was hoping that it was named after you and I. So.
Yes, well, we are getting a little long in the tooth.
We're getting long in the tooth, but we're not that long yet.
Exactly. I know. I'm looking more long in the tooth than ever. I decided that razor blades were too expensive, so I stopped cutting hair.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I'd say you got another 6 inches to go. You'll be equivalent to some of the ZZ Top crew there.
That's what I'm thinking. I was thinking when the bass player Dusty died a few years ago, I thought I better start. But then they got this new replacement who is awesome. So that position is gone.
But you know, though, with what you've done your the better part of your life, and what I've done, even though we're completely different worlds, you know, music and fishing, is. We're paying our dues, but we don't know we're paying our dues.
Yeah.
Right? You don't even think about it. You're not thinking about some pot of gold at the end of the rainbow or that. You're just doing it because it's what you feel you're meant to do.
How's Rayanne?
Great. Thank you.
You look fantastic.
Oh, thanks.
Your hair's different.
Well,
I love it.
It's a Sunday due for working in the studio.
There you go.
There you go.
I want to take everybody back a little bit now because I want to talk about the time from when we met.
Yep.
To the time when you're like one of Vancouver's most famous visual artists, which is now.
Thank you.
When I met you, you had come to Toronto from Lacombe. You were a photographer. You were the photo editor at Music Express. Like when you came in from Lacombe, like were you doing any art back then outside of photography, or was photography your main medium for a long time?
Yeah, photography. I studied photography at a really prestigious program in Edmonton, and I practiced that discipline for 2 decades.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out what to do. So I went on a trip, an art workshop to France. With an artist named Sherry Pratt. She's a very established, successful British Columbia artist and a teacher. And we went to Paris and we studied art and went to all the museums and galleries. And then we took a bus way up north to a town called Orcavaux. And it was in Champaign country. And I thought, well, you know, if I don't want to paint every day, I'll just go taste some champagne. But it wasn't like that. We were in the chateau and there was no transportation, tiny little town. So I had to stick it out.
Right.
And I got hooked. And that was in 2018. And I've been painting ever since.
That's amazing. Welcome to the Whiskey Wednesday show, Mr. Noah Mintz. Ladies and gentlemen, I am so happy to have Noah on the show today. Not only is an old friend and musician who I met back in the... I'm thinking it would have been... We're head in the 90s, 91 area, or were you guys on
right? Well, it would have been right when you joined the Watchmen.
Right? Okay. Were you guys part of the grunge scene?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were. We started because of it, basically. Like,
okay, that's what I thought. I just didn't want to misrepresent.
We were heavily influenced by it.
Yeah, and you guys were an amazing band for how many years?
From 91 till 97. And when I quit the band, I basically ended the band.
Yeah.
That was my first week of being a mastering engineer. So it was like, I was like ready to move on, you know? I would say the modern mastering is trying to make it sound as good on as many playback systems as possible. Because there are so many, for everything from a large club to a great hi-fi system, all the way down to a single Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah.
And don't forget, those are usually mono.
Yes.
So you needed the technical knowledge to make sure it sounds good in mono and sounds good in stereo. But the other thing why professional mastering is so important is an answer that might surprise you, but it's because sometimes we do almost nothing. And we have the confidence to be able to say, oh, this just needs one little bit of EQ. This just needs like to go through a tiny bit of compression. This just needs to go through one piece of gear and nothing else.
Say that I can take one day and teach you how to master, but it's going to take you 5 years to get any good at it.
Every single album that you and I know and love over the past 50 years has been mastered. Every single one of them. And what do they know that we don't know? You know, it's like they thought it was important.
Exactly.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Whiskey Wednesday show. We are here today with artist, musician, creator of oddities, Mr. Tim Lee, and I've been following you and sort of collecting some of your stuff here and there, including this behind me here, which was the All Together Now album cover, which you provided the artwork for.
I was happy to do that.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it was good timing. So I had just finished it and the guy had a beard. So
I know. And it's sort of people say, oh, it looks like you. I'm like, Tim, I didn't even have a beard when Tim saw me that. You know, it's sort of weird.
I was seeing the future.
Exactly. That's your artistic vision, is being able to paint what's happening in the future. That's a good trait.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm making a lot of money from doing that, right?
Yeah, you should paint some lottery tickets.
Yeah, exactly.
Your art at this point is instantly recognizable.
Everything now that I do, it ends up looking like I did it. So it's kind of one of those things where I can't really stop it. And now I have these methods of building a painting and the kind of things that I like. I like, you know, color. Well, usually I like color. This one's not. But you know, I like lots of high contrast stuff, and the style of drawing is kind of just inherent as to who I've become after drawing and sketching so much. And it's like, oh, well, it just comes out. This is my thing. And people say, well, I can tell it's a Tim Lee. And I'm like, I don't really have a choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Whiskey Wednesday show. Once again, we have an amazing guest for you. Tonight, we have Cam Carpenter, who I referred to him last week as Mr. Music. I mean, on some levels, he's worked with the Foo Fighters through to Sonic Youth and Sinead O'Connor. He's been A&R for record companies for the better part of going into three decades, I believe. He works with Indie Week, North by Northeast. He's worked with Sony, MCA. He's a festival programmer, a film festival programmer. He's a publicist. And that's like, I don't even think that begins to sum it up. How do you describe yourself?
I always think of myself as like an artist relations person in almost everything I do. And that's been my background since day one in the record business. So friend of the artist.
Back in the day where A&R was an actual position that was filled.
Yeah.
For people nowadays, because that term is really kind of lost. What was the job?
They call them A&Rs now. It's like calling vinyls. It drives me crazy.
So weird. So what was the primary focus of your job then?
This is hot. It was going out to 200 shows a year and hanging out in bars, and something would just hit you and you would try to make a deal.
In the 80s, when I first came to Toronto, you know, playing the Queen Street scene, and it was always about, oh, such and such, you know, A&R for such and such is going to drop in tonight.
Yeah.
And there was always like, you know, there was always somebody in the crowd who was A&R from a label. And it seemed like there was so many of you working so hard, 5-6 nights a week out watching bands, watching new bands, watching your favorite bands develop. And then eventually something would happen. And then that bond became, you know, more than just a guy in the crowd. You were then suddenly the band's main purpose, the conduit between the band and the industry. The A&R of old has been gone for, you know, I'm going to say the better part of 15 or 20 years.
I'd say 10 to 15 years since it really changed. Now people just look at streams and everything else, and they don't go, they just look at YouTube, and they don't even need to go see bands anymore. That's what I sort of see in A&R for the most part.
How do you, what's your impression of that?
I think it's wrong. Yeah. But it's a different business now than it was back then. So who's to say it's wrong? If you get a million streams on TikTok because you signed that band, then I guess you win as an A&R person. Me, it was seeing a band go from Ultrasound to the Horseshoe to Lee's Palace to the Phoenix or the Diamond Club back then.
Yeah.
Maybe to then Massey Hall, then Maple Leaf Gardens. Like that was the mountain of success for your artist, and getting a gold single, a gold album, platinum record, you know, and selling out venues across the country, you know, like the Tragically Hip did.
Are you working in A&R with any band or sort of in that capacity anymore with bands?
No, I still do it. There's some bands who come to me for advice, and if I like them, I'll help them out, like unpaid, and I'll just like try to mentor them.
What are you excited about in music nowadays?
Discovery of new music is so easy now, especially with Spotify and Apple to a certain degree as well. I listen to a lot more Spotify. So that's exciting, and I'm finding new bands every day. And hopefully I'll walk into a bar not knowing a band at 2 a.m. at the Bovine and go, oh my God. And have that oh my God moment that we all
exactly. Yeah, that's kind of the drug we keep looking for.
Yes, because drugs are bad.
Drugs are bad. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Music, Cam Carpenter, thanks for being on the show, brother. I really appreciate it.
I can't believe you've had me as a guest, Ken. It's been an honor.
It's been great.
Thank you.
Just a few kilometers outside Hastings, Ontario, you'll find a small dirt road, just like the other dirt roads in the area. But once you get over the crest of this hill, you'll see that this place is pretty damn magical. We're going over the crest here now into what is the site of the Crooks Rapids Festival. This is a huge piece of land just outside Hastings, Ontario. It's still inside the grounds of Hastings. There's Dougie coming over after mowing the lawn. Dougie is the owner, operator, creator of Crooks Rapids Country Fest. There's their wonderful memorial garden, which greets you as it comes in. Big part of what they do. We talk about this a little bit in the interview. You'll get to hear all about that. Crooks Rapids Country Fest is happening August 25th and 26th, 2023. Massive lineup.
What made you want to do this, Doug? Out of all the things you could have done after music, aside from continuing to play, what brought you into, you know, sort of, it's out of one fire into another. It's
not like just yesterday I was out here cutting, and a friend of mine, Rick Duncan, he was my father's friend. But growing up, when I was a little kid, he always had a party at his house, and it was live bands, and there was a stage. And I was like, oh man, this is, someday I'm going to be on that, on his stage, right? And then as years went on, I was about 14, 15, finally got the opportunity. He's like, yeah, your band's good, let's rock, you know, we'll get them on there. And that right there was like, I was like, I want to have this, you know what I mean, someday. But what happened was I ended up becoming a musician and then touring the world, you know, and then that all went and did its thing. And then I was like, you know, I've always wanted to have a concert or a festival. And so it was kind of a full circle moment again. And here it is. Like me and John, Sini, my partner, mm-hmm. who started this, when we walked over that hill, like this was like, you know, 5 feet of like hay and grass, and there was trees and rocks everywhere. And like we saw this, you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Welcome to the Whiskey Wednesday show, ladies and gentlemen. We have here today Mr. Bill Wilichka. Bill has been in my life inadvertently since 92, I believe it was, when you started your gig. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was started that much in 88, ended up on the air in 92.
Okay.
Helping produce and co-host the country show, Outlaws and Heroes. Sadly, it no longer exists. I guess the one good thing about it going away was they transferred me to a regular VJ shift for Much. So, yeah, that show changed my life. But generally, there's a lot of good stuff in there that I think will satisfy fans of music, maybe fans of Much. what was interesting for me is I didn't want the book to be the ramblings of some old guy going, hey, remember the time I interviewed David Bowie? Let me tell you about that time I interviewed Mick Jagger. Yeah. No, the book is full of what I call perfect circles. And that is being a fan of someone like in grade school or high school, having their patches on your jean jacket or buttons on your jean jacket or posters in your locker room at school or mm-hmm. in your locker, posters in your bedroom. And then like years later, having a chance to interview every single one of them, every single hero I ever had, and then some.
Yeah, you went through everybody.
And what an amazing position to fall into and then foster that. And I call those perfect circles. Beginning. And mm-hmm. there are people in Kingston here where I work now, hosting a TV morning show, that don't know that I had a music journalism past. So the has-been, I think, part is it's self-deprecating. I understand that. But it's a nod to that time where I was national, mm-hmm. Interviewing everyone that I wanted to, traveling around the world. And then my career went backwards. I started there, and then I eventually found myself to a smaller market, to a smaller audience. But the happy part comes in where I am the happiest that I've ever been throughout my entire life, right at this moment, as I'm talking to Ken Tizard.
Come on, everyone. Yep. So,
Eric, you are officially the owner of Spirit Leaf?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
yes,
sir. You and your wife running it together?
Yeah, well, she's not here right now, but this is definitely a team effort. Raquel and I, you know, this is something we do together. Although a lot of people know me as the face of the shop, this really is an effort between my wife and me, and then we brought Zara on board as our manager, who's a huge part of what we do here as well.
Right. Yeah. And you guys all moved up from, you and your wife and Zara moved up from Toronto, right?
This is true.
How are you both enjoying Campbellford? You liking it?
What's not to love?
You know what? We've been here just over a year and I can't imagine being anywhere else. This is home
now. You know what?
So one of the really cool things that came out of legalization was the ability for companies and growers to research and innovate and develop all kinds of new products. Cannabis isn't just one thing anymore. It's mm-hmm. it's many different things to many different people.
Short story.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I've loved this stuff, you know, for a long time, ever since I was a young man. And to be in a place where we can open up a business and do this, it's almost like my calling, I would say, at this point, you know, to be able to turn this into something that is, you know, a living for me and my family, and to be able to build a community of like-minded individuals around us who all, you know, have this thing in common where we all, you know, have been able to benefit and have more joyful lives because of this wonderful plant.
Thanks again for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. I do really appreciate it. Ken Tizard and Music for Goats send you our love during the season. Thanks to everybody who's helped out this last year and everybody who's tuned in. It's meant an awful lot to us. And remember, when you're out there, be like Steve. Cheers.
Once again, thanks for spending another Wednesday with us here at Storyhouse Studios. Thanks to Trainer, Yorkville, and a Longtooth Beverage Company for being a part of the show. We love our time on the Whiskey Wednesday show and appreciate all of your support. Don't forget to hit up the tip jar if you feel so inclined. Never expected, but always appreciated. Tune in every week for more guests, songs, stories, drinks, and gear talk. And don't forget to visit the website, www.kentizard.com, to sign up for the Whiskey Wednesday wrap-up. Compiled by Allison, this is a monthly overview with highlights, directories of songs, and so much more. Be kind, be helpful, be happy, be safe. See you next week. On a Jim Beam Canada.